නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Hello, this is Lal from purodhamma.net. This is the third desana in this series on Tilakkhana. In the first desana of this series, we discussed how Nichcha Sanya leads to Sukha Sanya, which in turn leads to the Attha Sanya. That is a lot of Pali words, but it is important to learn them because they cannot be translated to English without losing their true meanings. So it is better to learn the meanings of those Pali words. One could use the search box at the website to find relevant posts. So a Nichcha nature, which is the opposite of Anicca, implies a sense of predictability, a sense of safety and happiness. For example, if I get a good job, all my problems will go away kind of mindset. Then that implies a happy future for oneself, and that is the perception of sukha or happiness. If both those are true, that means one is in full control of one's future, and one will never become helpless. And that is the perception of Atta, the opposite of Anatta, that one feels that one is in full control, whereas in reality that is not the case. Even if we get all we wanted, we have to leave all that behind when we die. Furthermore, what we did to get those things could lead to much suffering in future lives. And in the second desana, we discussed how Iccha or cravings lead to that Nichcha Sanya. However, as we discussed with examples, this Nichcha Sanya could be dangerous in that we may do immoral things to get what we want, and then that will lead to dukkha or suffering in the future. Therefore, instead of getting what one liked or what one wished for, one would actually be subjected to much suffering at the end. So therefore, the reality of this world is that it is of anicca nature instead of nicca nature. In the end, one would not get what one wanted or desired. We discussed cases where one will be subjected to suffering if one did immoral deeds with the Nichcha Sanya. But we will see that statement holds true in all cases. For example, indulging in sense pleasures, even if one avoids obvious dasa akusala done by the body and speech, it will still lead to suffering. This is actually the key message of the Buddha that is not explained or even mentioned in any other religion or philosophy. That is why it is called previously unheard teachings. In fact, even when explained, it is hard to understand for many people. That is why I am taking a step-by-step gradual approach. It is essential to learn the fundamentals. So remember the phrase that we discussed in the second desana. If something eventually leads to suffering, even if it brings immediate happiness, that is of anicca nature. There are two key factors that are really at the root of anicca, dukkha, anatta nature. One is the unstable and unpredictable nature of things in this world. The other is that whenever we crave for those worldly things, we violate one or more of the dasa akusala. Now, we cannot do much about the first, that is the nature of things. But when we understand the importance of dasa akusala, we can reduce our cravings for those material things and thereby stop future suffering. So this is a key point. We cannot change the characteristics of material things around us. What we can change is our cravings for them. We will be discussing these two aspects in the rest of this series. One can go even deeper and actually look at the connection between the formation of material things and dasa akusala. Actually, we may do that after I finish my next project in a few months. But that is not really needed to attain the sotapanna stage. So that is kind of a summary of what we have discussed so far and what we will be discussing in the future. So let us now start today's discussion. The Buddha said that we have wrong views about the nature, and those are called ditthi vipallasa or distorted views. Such ditthi vipallasa lead to misconceptions or sanya vipallasa about the nature. And then we think according to those wrong views and wrong sanya. And therefore, such thoughts arise in us automatically due to chitta vipallasa. Ditthi vipallasa lead to sanya vipallasa, in turn lead to chitta vipallasa. When we have all three, we just automatically think according to that, the way we perceive things. So these three Pali phrases, ditthi vipallasa, sanya vipallasa, and chitta vipallasa, are important set of words. Let me state one more time what they are. Our wrong views about the nature are called ditthi vipallasa, or distorted views. Such a ditthi vipallasa lead to misconceptions or sanya vipallasa about the nature. And then we think according to those wrong views and perceptions. And therefore, such thoughts arise automatically due to chitta vipallasa. By the way, those vipallasa or distorted perceptions are embedded in our gati. I have discussed gati in many posts. All these concepts are interrelated. I realized that I have not written a post on the types of vipallasa. Now I have set myself a deadline for end of February to start my new project, which could last a few months. I will try to write a post on vipallasa before that, and also will try to have at least one more desana on tilakkana by the end of the month. That should be sufficient to cover tilakkana to the level needed for the sotapanna stage. One should read relevant posts and then come back and re-listen to a given desana. So coming back to the discussion, there are these three types of vipallasa are also associated with the dukkha and anatta nature. But let us first focus on these vipallasa associated with anicca. In order to get an idea of what is meant by these three types, first, let us take the following simple example. When a child is taught how to add two numbers, first, the concept is shown to him by using fingers or, say, marbles. So we count out three fingers and then count out four more fingers. Then the child is asked to count the total number of fingers, and he finds that it is seven. So that is the basic concept. So initially he learned the basic process involved in the addition of two numbers using fingers. This is getting the right ditthi, or learning what is meant by adding two numbers. We could say that by learning that technique, he has removed ditthi vipallasa for addition. If no one explained to him the right way to add two numbers like that, he will never be able to get rid of that ditthi vipallasa, and therefore will never be able to add two numbers. In this particular example, we must realize though that vipallasa is not really what comes to play here. It is more like ignorance about addition of two numbers. But this is the closest and simplest analogy that I could come up with. I hope you get the idea. Okay, so even if the child is able to add two numbers, that procedure is not really rooted in his mind yet. He does not have the sanya for adding two numbers and therefore cannot do it in his head. We could say that he still has sanya vipallasa and chitta vipallasa as far as addition is concerned. So that is the basic difference between ditthi vipallasa and sanya vipallasa. We talked about the keyword sanya in the first two desanas. It is important to understand what is really meant by sanya. Now, when the child keeps practicing with different sets of numbers to add using the fingers, he will eventually be able to do it without using fingers. At that stage, he has the right sanya to do the math in his head, and therefore he can come up with the answer right away. Now he has removed both sanya vipallasa and chitta vipallasa for addition, so to speak. Therefore, he has now removed all three types of vipallasa for addition. Now he is able to do the math in his head and give the answer right away. That ability is attained only when he comprehends the sanya about addition, so to speak. Again, this is not a perfect analogy, but I hope you can get the idea. The point is that once the child learns the right procedure and keeps using it repeatedly, he will eventually get the sanya to do it, and then will be able to do it in his head. Even if new numbers are given to him, he will be able to add them right away without using his fingers now. So this two-step process holds for grasping any concept. First, one needs to learn it from someone, and then one needs to use it repeatedly until the concept sinks in. The first step involves getting rid of ditthi vipallasa, any misconceptions about the concept and the way to do it correctly. If one learns the wrong procedure, then of course one cannot make any progress. The second step involves analyzing new situations with the new concept until the idea sinks in. The second step is necessary to get rid of both sanya vipallasa and chitta vipallasa. Now, if the subject matter is a complex one, like the concept of anicca, then one needs to spend a considerable amount of time looking at various aspects of it. And that may involve learning other related concepts too. Now, attaining the sotapanna stage is thousandfold more important than achieving anything in this world. So the time spent would be fully worthwhile. One should not expect to get to the sotapanna stage just by reading a few posts or listening to a few desanas. A heart surgeon, a brain surgeon, or a scientist has spent many years to get to that stage, but those accomplishments are gone when we die. On the other hand, once the sotapanna stage is reached, it is forever. One may need to think about that. It is very important to understand that it is not possible to remove these vipallasa about anicca, dukkha, anatta just by reading about them. One may even be able to remove ditthi vipallasa about anicca, but until one removes sanya and chitta vipallasa about anicca, one has not yet attained the sotapanna stage. Now, to go one step further, we can say that developing sanya about any given concept depends on two key factors. One is one's ability to understand the given concept in the first place, and then the second step is the repeated use of it by analyzing and thinking about it. The ability to understand depends on the subject matter too. For example, some people are good at math, but not so good at remembering history or geography. So there are variations. However, repeated use can compensate for that. If one really has the desire, one could spend time and grasp the concept. even if it is not one's favorite subject. This is what the Buddha meant by the phrase bhavanaya bahulikataya, which means that what is meant by bhavana or meditation is to contemplate on the subject that one has learned as much as possible, whenever possible. Therefore, it is not enough to read about the correct meaning of anicca. One needs to contemplate on the concept using everyday examples that one comes across. That is the key step to become a sotapanna. One gets to the sotapanna phalacitta when one really comprehends the concept and gets the anicca sanya, gets rid of the sanya vipallasa, and in turn removes the chitta vipallasa. When that happens, the response to any situation comes automatically to his or her mind. This is why a sotapanna will never do any apayagami kamma under any circumstance. He or she will have the anicca sanya. This is an important point to remember. You may want to hit the pause button and think about what we discussed in the past few minutes. Sanya is a very complex concept, as I pointed out in the first desana itself. Let us take a few more examples. It is beneficial in the long run to get these basics right. One needs familiarity with something to cultivate the sanya about it. When we hear the word lemon, the lemon sanya immediately comes to our mind. We don't need to think what lemon is. It is already there in our thoughts. We don't have a sanya vipallasa about what lemon is. Not only that we know what lemon is, we can recall the taste of lemon too instantaneously. In the same way, when we hear salt, the word salt, we kind of get the salt taste in our mouth too. These are very simple examples. Now, we also need to note that it is not the word that matters. For example, I get the same sanya for the word salt as for the word lunu, which is the Sinhala word for salt. This is why we should not get hung up on words, but try to get familiar with what exactly it is that we are talking about. It doesn't matter whether we call it salt or lunu as long as we know what it is. Suppose there's a person who has not tasted lemon in her life, then it will be impossible to describe to her what lemon is. It is better to get her to taste it. That is why just reading about something is not enough. Now, other words are, of course, more complex. When we hear the word mother, very complex feelings and perceptions come to our mind. Each person will perceive their mother in their own way. We will be able to picture her and our hearts get warmed, and we may even instantly recall some special event with her in the past. But anicca is even more complex because it can go to very deep levels. I hope you can see that why one could not even imagine getting to the sotapanna stage just by describing anicca by a single word like impermanence. I'm sure each one of you have somewhat different ideas about anicca. For example, one cannot fulfill one's expectations, or one cannot maintain things to one's satisfaction are two main perceptions. But you will see in future desanas that anicca can mean even more. Each new perspective makes the anicca sanya stronger. So it is good to investigate and learn different aspects of anicca nature. Let me discuss another way to look at this basic issue. I thought about this based on a question that I recently received. Suppose there's a person X who drinks regularly. He really likes to drink, but he gets a terrible headache next morning. So now he has two desires. One desire is to drink. He likes to drink. But he also has a desire to be free of headaches. Now, the first type is a kama chanda, a desire for sense pleasures. But the second desire is not really for a sense pleasure, but to be free of headaches. That can be compared to the nibbanic bliss that results from avoiding the cravings for sense pleasures. So that is a good example. This is a very simple way to explain the whole idea about how sense pleasures lead to suffering and how that suffering can be stopped by controlling our cravings for sense pleasures. The only way that person X can be free of headaches is to give up drinking. He probably knows that, but it is still hard for him to give up that habit and the cravings. So he may not have the ditthi vipallasa about it, but he certainly has the sanya vipallasa. He has to get that truth into his head if he is to be free from future headaches. He needs to contemplate on what has happened to other people who kept on drinking and died miserably with damaged livers or other problems. He has to see the dangers in drinking. In the same way, one needs to see the dangers of sense pleasures in order to make progress. A fish eating the bait on a hook does not see that it will lead to so much suffering. It sees only the tasty worm on the hook. Now, even though we can see that, the fish cannot see that. On the other hand, we ourselves cannot see the suffering hidden in sense pleasures until a Buddha comes to the world and explains future suffering using laws of karma and rebirth. As we discussed in the first two desanas, it is not possible to comprehend Tilakkana unless and until one believes in the laws of karma and rebirth. In the last desana, we discussed the very fundamental issue at the root of anicca, which is the phrase yampiccham nalabati tampi dukkham. How iccha or craving for worldly material things lead to the wrong niccha and sukha sanya. Now we can connect with the situation of person X who likes to drink. His main desire is to get to a happy state of mind, but he ends up being miserable simply because he cannot control his cravings or iccha for drinking. He can never sustain that happy state of mind when he drinks, because in the following morning he will have that headache and he will become miserable. As we have discussed, the problem is that instead of ending up providing sukha or happiness, any such activity leads to suffering in the long run. We looked at some cases where it appears that one could gain happiness in the short term by doing certain immoral things. But as we saw, it inevitably leads to suffering if we believe in the laws of karma and rebirth. So such clear cases involve akusala kamma done by the body and speech. We can clearly see that those are immoral deeds. Now when we say dasa akusala, what immediately comes to our mind are those done by the body and speech. Actually, those akusala done by body and speech are mostly under control for people who have cultivated the mundane eightfold path. On the other hand, the three types of akusala done by the mind are less obvious. And these are the ones we should examine, especially with Tilakkana. We need to see how those will also lead to future suffering because of the anicca nature. Now let us look at those three akusala done by the mind. Excess greed or abhijja, hate or vyapada, and wrong views or mechaditti. Greed and hate in the mind are as bad as those akusala done by the body and speech. If we follow the paticca samuppada steps, starting with a greedy sankhara, we can see how one is going to be born a hungry ghost or a preta repeatedly in this life itself. Now if one continues that way, one will build up a vijnana that can actually give rise to a birth as a hungry ghost in a future life. In the same way, angry and hateful mindset can lead to births in even lower realms. Another point that we discussed in the first two desanas is that it is important to realize that talking to oneself is included in vachisankhara. Therefore, they can become kammapatha, leading to future rebirths in such lower realms. Furthermore, they can provide as triggers to commit bodily actions too. So we can clearly see that even greed and hate, which most of us don't take seriously, can lead to real suffering. Now, the one dasa kusala that almost no one takes seriously or pays attention to is miccha ditti. But in fact, this is the most dangerous one. All akusala kamma are done with miccha ditti. All akusala mula paticca samuppada cycles start with avijja. And avijja is there because one does not realize how the nature works or the true characteristics of nature. At the mundane level, most of us can see that those dasa kusala done by the body and speech are immoral and can lead to bad outcomes or bad kamma vipaka. Those are mostly done with the 10 types of miccha ditti. Once one gets to the mundane eightfold path, one has removed most of these 10 types of miccha ditti. Now the next step is to remove the second layer of miccha ditti. This is the comprehension of tilakkhana. So it is critical to remove most of those 10 types of miccha ditti before even contemplating on starting on the noble eightfold path by comprehending tilakkhana. Lokottara sammāditti, or the sammāditti in the noble eightfold path, is basically seeing the anicca nature of any realm. A sotapanna has removed all three types of vipallāsa for anicca nature, meaning that he or she understands that nothing can be maintained to one's satisfaction in any of the 31 realms. That means anywhere in this world. Let me repeat that. A sotapanna has removed all three types of vipallasa for anicca nature. A sotapanna has also removed all three types of vipallasa regarding the anatta nature too. That means he or she realizes that it is not fruitful to be born anywhere in the 31 realms and that one is really helpless in the rebirth process. But a sotapanna still has the sanya vipallasa and chitta vipallasa regarding the dukkha lakshana. That is because it is very hard for humans to give up cravings for sense pleasures and for jhanic pleasures. Even though deep down one understands that it is unfruitful to seek sense pleasures, the cravings or temptations are too much to overcome. Let me repeat. A sotapanna still has the sanya vipallasa and chitta vipallasa regarding the dukkha lakkana. He has removed all three types of vipallasa for the anicca and anatta lakkana. Now, an anagami would have removed the sanya and chitta vipallasa regarding sense pleasures in kamaloka, but may still have cravings for jhanic pleasures in the rupa and arupa loka. Now, only an arahant is the only one who has removed all types of vipallas. So we will discuss these in more detail in upcoming desanas. Please don't hesitate to ask questions at the discussion forum. Some of you, especially those of you who have listened to hundreds, if not thousands of desanas, may find this set of desanas to be different. Some of you may even feel that these desanas are too simple because I talk about dasa akusala and miccha ditti in a discourse on tilakkhana. However, I really believe that dasa akusala, miccha ditti, loss of kamma and rebirth are the foundational blocks of Buddha Dhamma. One can get a much clearer view of tilakkhana by making those hidden connections. So I hope to wrap up this series with one or two more desanas before I take a break to work on the other project. I have no doubt that one can make a lot of progress if one really comprehends the material in this set of desanas by reading the relevant posts. One should read not only the posts that I list, but also any other relevant posts at the website until a given concept is clear. Of course, you can ask questions at the discussion forum too. In the next desana, I will discuss the real nature of matter or rupa. That is important in order to get rid of sakkaya ditti. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha be with you always.